Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paved for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, hallelujah, glory be to God, hey, hallelujah. This is truly a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank and praise God for us being here this morning, hallelujah, to serve you, and you. All right, people of God. We're going to have a short session on this morning, amen, but we're going to do what God has called us to do, amen, and just see how the Spirit will move us this morning. All right, we're going to turn it over to Mother Sydney so that she can come on in and pray, amen, come back with our announcement and take our questions. And go into our lesson. Mother Sydney, are you there? Mother there? Evangelist Patrice, is you there? Could you pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for this day, God. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, God. We worship you and honor you. We thank you for this day, God. You are wonderful, excellent, and marvelous, God. We thank you, Lord God, as you download into us today, God, what we need on today, God. We, Lord God, open ourselves up to you today, Lord God, to release, Lord God, all that you need, Lord God, and we give to you, oh God. We bow before you this morning, God. We worship and honor your great name, God. You alone are worthy and deserve it all, oh God. We thank you for the sound that's about to come forth out of, Lord God, Dr. Wilkes' mouth in the name of Jesus. Thank you for anointing her afresh in the matchless name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we ask that you will come forth, Lord God, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord God, and move on this line today, oh God. Anoint, Lord God, those that hear the sound on today, Lord God. Let he that has an ear, let them hear in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for this morning, Lord God. Forgive us of our sins, Lord God. Wash and cleanse us, Lord God, from all unrighteousness, Lord God. Purify our hearts, purify our ears, purify our ear gates in the name of Jesus, our eyes, our mind, our ears, our nose, every area of our bodies, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you will purify us all, Lord God, that we can come to you with clean hands and a pure heart, Lord God. We worship and honor you, Lord God. You alone are worthy to be praised, Lord God. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch our youth right now, in Jesus' name, God, as they prepare to go to school, God. We pray that you will cover every school, Lord God, every elementary school, God, every middle school, God, every high school, every college and university in the name of Jesus, every private school, and even if they're at home in school, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will anoint their heads, oh God, with your oil, oh God, from heaven in the name of Jesus, to give them the ability to learn and to be able to receive, Lord God, all that they need, Lord God, that again, when they grow up, oh God, and move on to the next level in their lives, oh God, they'll be able to take it in the name of Jesus. But also, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that every time they come on this line to hear a word, Lord God, or have questions, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will use them, Lord God, while they're in school, in the name of Jesus, to impact men and young women in the name of Jesus that are going to the opposite direction, Lord God, that is not of you, in the name of Jesus, to draw them back in the name of Jesus. Let Bible studies be done in school in the name of Jesus that will impact their lives in the matchless name of Jesus. God, we thank you on today, God, that this is a new day, a day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you on today, God, that whatever is being done today in their lives, oh God, they will never be the same, Lord God. Impact their lives so that they can impact their families in the name of Jesus. Impact their friends, oh God, would it not be fearful in the name of Jesus to speak the word of God into their lives, oh God, because we need evangelism. We need, Lord God, prophetic people to move forth in the name of Jesus. Let them walk in their gifts, oh God, in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how old they are, God, or how young they are in the name of Jesus. Let them be an open vessel for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you on today, God, that there will be the next, oh God, the next generation, Lord God, that's going to impact, Lord God, and be able to reach those that we cannot reach in the name of Jesus. We bless your name on today, God, that you're blessing your children right now, God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, God, and even those that have a disability in the name of Jesus, you are able to use them for your glory in the name of Jesus. Speak impairment, Lord God, give them speech, Lord God, to be able to speak well in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you that you're going to download your word into them, Lord God, that they will not, Lord God, be fearful, Lord God, because you have not given them the spirit of fear, but you've given them a power, love, and a sound mind. We thank you, Lord God, that your children shall walk by faith and not by sight. For Hebrews 11:1 says, oh God, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, God. And so, Lord, we ask that they will be courageous, Lord God, and be strong in the power of your might in the name of Jesus, and run on and do what you have called them to do in the name of Jesus. Let every word that comes forth out of the woman of God's mouth in the name of Jesus impact their minds in the name of Jesus, to run on in the name of Jesus and be able to, Lord God, just as the woman at the well, run, Lord God, and tell everybody about what they learned today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh God, for healing in their bodies, oh God, healing them, Lord God, from the inside out, oh God. And we pray in your name, Lord God, that you would continue, Lord God, to anoint those afresh in the name of Jesus. Touch Prophet LaRon Matthews on today, Lord God, as he is being used this weekend, God. Anoint him, oh God, and use him to further your kingdom in the name of Jesus in that region, Lord God, of Georgia. God, I thank you, oh God, that there's going to be an explosion of your spirit like never before, oh God, touching minds, oh God, touching hearts in the name of Jesus, saved and unsaved in the name of Jesus, to draw them, Ramon, in the name of Jesus, draw them in the name of Jesus to further your kingdom in the name of Jesus, to bring, oh God, perversion down to his knees in the name of Jesus, and to bring it back, take it back to the dry places where once it came in the name of Jesus. We thank you on today, God, that liberty, Lord God, shall be their portion in the name of Jesus. For who the Son sets free is free indeed, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We thank you on today, God. We worship you and honor you today, God. Touch all those that work on this line in the name of Jesus as we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreU.org. That's WeRestoreU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
God bless you, Dr. Wilkes, and God bless everyone that's listening in on the line this morning. If you will, keep the following dates in mind that we've adopted for third Sunday in every month is Love Sunday for Dr. Matthews. And if you desire to bless the men of God, you can do so by visiting the ministry website at WeRestoreU.org. You can cash app at @RFPIM, or you can Zelle at WeRestoreU@Yahoo.com. This weekend, if you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area or the Suwanee, Georgia area, you can join Dr. Matthews this weekend, the 19th through the 21st, at the REACH Conference, the World Shakers Church. That's at 55 Buford Highway Northeast in Savannah, Georgia. For more information, you can contact worldshakerschurch.com. August the 28th, Dr. Matthews will be back in Atlanta for Preach the Word Worldwide Network TV, the gala, the annual gala. The tickets are $150. You can go to their website and purchase your tickets and more information about the gala at www.ptwwntv.com. Also, on September 11th, if you're in the Chicago area, you can join Dr. Matthews at the Kingdom Connection Ministries in Chicago at 12642 South Massillon Palouse Heights, Illinois. And for more information about that, you can call 708-733-5777. They're getting ready for their first year church anniversary celebration, September the 16th through the 17th. You can join Dr. Matthews in San Antonio, Texas, Bridging the Gap, Birth in the Love Conference, hosted by our very own prophetess Tina Rice. For more information, please call 210-849-6182. Again, that number is 210-849-6182. For hotel information, it's the Marriott San Antonio Airport. That number is 800-228-9290. Please use the code Bridging the Gap. September the 23rd through the 24th, you can join Dr. Matthews in Southville, Michigan, in the Detroit, Michigan area, hosted by Prophetess Epps. October the 28th through the 30th is the Family Values Conference 2022 and the birthday celebration for Dr. Laron Matthews. More information coming on that as well. If you would like for Dr. Matthews to be the speaker at your conference, your prophetic summit, your revival, he's also a licensed Christian counselor. We'll be more than happy to coordinate that for you. Please give us a call at 877-912-2027, or you can contact the local ministry at 708-825-1988. God bless you, Dr. Wilkes.
God bless you as well. Amen. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning again to each and every one of you here on the Prophetic Conference Line. We thank and praise God for each one of you. Thank you again, Evangelist Patrice. Hallelujah for you in this morning for Mother and prayer. God is so awesome. Amen. We're not going to prolong the time, but I want to say to each and every one of you, if you're celebrating a birthday or anniversary today or this coming week, we want to extend you a very blessed one. For those of you that even if that's naturally or spiritually, amen, we like to celebrate those spiritual birthdays. or those spiritual anniversaries, amen, because it means something, especially in the kingdom of God right now, because many people give up and they turn back on the Lord, or they fold up the ministry and they just walk out, and you know, they may be tired, but then there are souls that is attached to the ministry, and then they have to fend for themselves to find another ministry to be able to embrace and continue on in the kingdom of God. So we thank God for those of you that are kingdom leaders that are still walking closely with the Lord and feeding and serving the people of God. So that's why I always say spiritually and naturally. Amen. So we thank God for you, and you. All right, Administrator, thank you for those announcements. Are there any questions this morning?
Yes, ma'am. We have one question this morning. It states, many Christians struggle with the issue of tithing. In some churches, giving is overemphasized. At the same time, many Christians refuse to submit to the biblical exhortations about making offerings to the Lord. Tithing and giving is intended to be a joy and a blessing. Sadly, that is sometimes not the case in the church today. So my question is tithing, is it an Old Testament concept?
No. Say no. And the reason why I'm going to say no is because you have to think about this. And I don't want to get into scripture on this right at this point, but I want to say this from a personal testimony, because, and I think I've given this before, if not on this platform, I have taught this in my own personal platform or Bible study for my congregation. I gave this testimony before about you cannot, I was told, a blessed die better than a cursed hour. Senior man of God, he stated that, and I had never heard that statement phrase before, because matter of fact, I was stationed in Fort Hood, Texas at that time. And I was still in the military, or I had just gotten out of the military. But he said, you can't afford not to tithe. And it seems so many times, especially, you definitely are putting holes in your pocket when you don't tithe. Some people say, well, I can't, I got bills to pay. Well, are you trusting in yourself? Are you just trusting in that dollar? Are you saying that God cannot do it? That's the first one. Well, let's get an understanding first about God. He said, give unto Caesar, Jesus told him, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God. And you have to understand that Caesar takes his portion. Caesar meaning the government. The government takes their money before you even get it, after you don't work. Ooh, Father in heaven. Before you even touch your own paycheck, that you don't work 40 hours or 80 hours, some overtime, they eat it up. You get your check, you like, what in the world done happened? Caesar done got here. Done got it and gone. And if they overtake so much, they ain't going to give it back to you until you file your return, if you file a return. And then you may not even get it all back then. You might end up on. So why cheat God? Why cheat him? He's the one that wakes you up every morning. He's the one that gives you, thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, give you life, health, and strength. He's the one that gives you the ability to understand how to do the job that you do, whether you're working for yourself or whether you're working for Pharaoh, as I call it, your employer. So a blessed dime is better than a cursed dollar. 10 little cents on a dollar. That's all he's asking for. And you and I have 90 cents less to do whatever we need to do. It's called management, budget. It's called, hallelujah, you be faithful over that which is least, he'll bless you with much. Now, here's my testimony. Not just once, God has done it over and over again. When I was in the military, I lived in what we call government quarters. That means the housing that was available for the soldiers to live in. Myself, husband, and my three children at that time. Two sons and my oldest daughter. And so I didn't have any rent. I didn't have no utility, but I had a car payment. I had insurance that had to be paid. And I had other, like, credit bills or whatever. This particular time came, I didn't have enough money. The money that I had left over, I had to make a decision whether I was going to pay by time or buy groceries. And I said to myself, I said, self, you got to pay your time. So I did. Not knowing how I was going to feed my three children, because at that time I don't think my husband was working, or if he was, he was working as a pizza delivery person. So he had not got a stable job at that time. And so I went on. And this particular night I was really sick. It was on a Monday night because our prayer was on Monday night. Our corporate prayer was on Monday night. So I was hurting so bad, I was like double over. But the Lord impressed me to get up and go to prayer. So I did. And one of the sisters who had a vision problem was going, she was a baby saint to the church. And she normally didn't drive at night. And I didn't know all of this. God was setting this up. So I went to church that night and prayed. And it just so happened that as soon as I got there, it was a parking space open right by the front door. So what this got to do with tithes? Just hold on. And I parked right there. I went in and I tried to got to pray, and I didn't want a whole bunch of people holding on me, so I got up, and I was leaving before prayer ended, and she happened to see me, and she came out, she said, sister, she said, she told me a testimony, but she normally don't drive at night. She said, I have something for you. I said, really? I said, okay. She said, where are you parking? I happened to be parked right by her. You see how God set this up? Not only blessed me, but he was blessing her because she said, I don't drive at night because I have a problem seeing. And so she came, she said, the Lord told me to buy you groceries. My God. Hallelujah. She bought the amount of groceries that I had paid in my tithe. Hey! It was enough. And I went home. My family was like, my husband was like, where's the school cover? I said, don't y'all ever say God ain't for your job, because you would be lying. That's only on one occasion. Fast forward to after I got out the military. My baby girl was in the hospital. We didn't know what was wrong with her. And this time, the conditions was even worse because I wasn't even in the military. And I think my husband was laid off or something at this time. But anyway, I had been in the hospital for a week, and I did not have any money. I mean, when I said I didn't have no money, I didn't have no money. And I had 6 children in the house. And I had six in the house at that time. No, four in the house at the time. 4 or 6, I can't remember right now, but I know I had the children in the house. And my refrigerator, this is no kidding, was hollering, yo lady who, you open it up, and all was in there was condiments. The cabinets had hardly no food at all, not even enough for me to scrape up to make a meal. And I had to, and so I had been in the hospital all week long, and I had not worked, so there was really no paycheck. I came home one night. I had went somewhere, and I came back. When I came back home, one of the sisters at the church, she and her husband, I came, and they was a large family. I think she had, at that time, 6 or 7 children. And she bought groceries to my house. And let me tell you about pride. I was like, why, sister, such and such, bring all this food? I said, where did food come from? They said, sister, so-and-so bought this food over here. And I said, why? She got all them children over there. She's taking food out of their mouth, and I'm just going on and on, rapping and raving. Instead of saying, praise God. And I, you know, but I was a faithful tithe giver. And I have learned, when you don't pay your tithe, I've learned this, you are cursed with a curse. And that is no joke. Because you won't even know where your money is. And you said, I thought I had enough money to do this, that, and the other. This is just personal testimonies about not paying tithes in this day and time. And people say, well, you know, but I want to get to the scriptures, the reasons, the purpose, not only about why that we should pay tithes. Because over in the Old Testament, this applies to the New Testament so that you can understand. Not only did the first Abraham pay tithes to Melchizedek, and the scripture doesn't talk about Melchizedek that often, but the reason why we pay tithes is to be a blessing to the house of God. And it goes back to the principles of what God first aligned with the Levitical priest. When the 12 tribes were created, Levi's tribe, the Levitical tribe, was not to inherit. They did not get any land. And it was the responsibility of the other 11 tribes, care of the Levites. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And most pastors don't teach it this way, so people don't. They always say, you don't give, you fresh down, take it up, you don't give all that other. But they need to go back to the purpose behind it. And the 12, the Levite tribe, God said all of the tribes were to be given theirs. But the Levitical tribe was not to get their inheritance. They were not to get inheritance. They were not to get land. And so once the other tribes blessed the Levite tribe, who was the tribe that the priests came from, because their job was, their portion was to take care of the house of God. At that time was the tabernacle. And that same principle applies now. The tithes and offerings is not just to bless the pastor. The tithes and offering is to help keep the household of God. And if, when you look out throughout the Word of God, really, if people do, there would not be a need. I'm going to say this, and I'm not knocking nobody that does this, but there would not be a need for pastors to have chicken dinners and all fundraisers and all this other stuff. It's the saints or the people that belong to the church pay their tithes. If they pay their tithes, in everything, need will be made. You have to remember, the church has light. They have utilities. Some churches have mortgages. They have repairs to theirs. So where was this money supposed to come from to do all of this stuff for the beautiful house? We live in fine houses and drive by cars. The house of God is not taken care of. It's going to be looking like a rat shack. So this, I feel like I'm going on a tangent, but this is what we need to understand. Now, I'm going to say that it has been men and women of God that have utilized the church for their own personal gain. God going to deal with them. We can't worry about what they do. We have to be obedient to God and not worry about, if you doing what God told you to do, God going to take care of them. We may not never see it, but remember, there is a judge. And when that judgment comes, God got it wrote down. He take good notes. Glory. And the notes that he's taking is going to come up to that man or that woman of God that have robbed God. They have taken from and they have misused and mishandled God's money, not their money. Come on, I need you to give me. These folks that want somebody to buy them planes and build them a tower and all this kind of craziness. If you see the man and woman of God that is your leader, you see them praying, you see them fasting, see them laboring for you. I know some pastors that don't take no kind of money. Now, I'm going to just say this on record for my own personal mission. When I first came to the assembly that I attend, my pastor did not take a salary. And for years after I first came, and finally in our saints meeting, when we had our annual meeting to talk about our finances and stuff like that, and I think every pastor should, that's just my personal opinion, talk about the finances of the church so people can know. They'll trust you more. And the board decided that they didn't want our pastor to drive a pickup or a SUV. So they decided, since he had not taken a salary, they bought him a vehicle. And he let us know, I did not buy this and I didn't ask for it. He's that kind of pastor. So I'm just saying, if someone is struggling and you have an issue with paying tithes. And I've been told by some ministers that ain't biblical. That was just in the Old Testament. We don't have to do that now. It's going to be between them and God. Sing, yes, yes, yes. Tithing is key. Today, forevermore, until the Lord take us out. So I hope I answered that question, and you are satisfied with the answer.
Amen. That's all I have at this time.
All right. It was a kind of lengthy answer, but I pray that I answered the question. All right. Is there any other questions for me? If you are live on the blog side, you can hit star 6, your phone, and you can press 1 on the dial of your phone. If you're on the conference call, you can star 6 your line and come right on in. If you have a question, amen. Or you can text if you don't want to be audible, 334-440-6152. 334-440-6152. So is there anyone? We are live all over the world. So if you want to say something, you can. All right? We're going to move right along.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Jackson.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
God bless you. This is Mother Jackson. Good morning to all of you. God bless. I just wanted to touch a little bit what you were saying about tithing. I touch and agree with you, everything that you said. I know I've shared this before, but I want to share it again. Hallelujah. Please. Pay your tithes. You can't be God-giving no matter how you try. That's not a cliche, not just the word, but it is truth. Father God, hallelujah. We just give God all the praise. I want to share. Now is the time to share this testimony. And be a cheerful giver. Don't just give with grudging or because I have to or they told me to. Do it out of love. Love for the kingdom. Love for the Lord. Love that this money is going to bless somebody. And because Mother is sharing this with you, there was a time, and as Evangelist Will said, there was only one child at the time, and I was expecting. And my husband was working for a sanitation service where they pick up the buildings, the businesses. Not the houses, but the businesses. And I'll tell you, we didn't have the money that the doctor was requiring for prenatal care to get started with the pregnancy. And so we just prayed. And we are cheerful tithers. We still are. After 45 years of marriage, we still are faithful, cheerful tithers. Can't give enough. Well, this particular time, whatever the doctor asked us for, we did not have it. And, of course, I needed care. My husband went to work that particular day and called home and said, babe, guess what? I found such and such in the garbage can. Now, this is in the garbage can now. The exact amount that the doctor was asking for. Being the man that he is, he didn't just pocket it. He didn't just pocket it and bring it home. He called his boss. That's the kind of man he is. He called his boss and said, boss, I found such and such in the garbage can. And so the boss told me, it's yours. You found it in the garbage can. It's yours. My husband felt free to use it, to have it. He did the right thing. And I'm telling you, what the doctor asked for, that was the exact amount that was in the garbage can for us. Hallelujah. And not only that, I say pay your tithes. You can't be God-given no matter how you try. I went There was a time, hallelujah, further down the line, we got in a scrape. We needed some money. We needed some money. Do you know, on the dump, we're talking about the dump ground where all the garbage is dumped from these trucks. My husband come home, I mean, with loads and loads of, I call it dirty money. The money was dirty, and he just piled it up, just laid it. We put a sheet on the bed, and he just threw it all on there, and he said, babe, I mean, as we were counting, and some had the bands around it, like from a bank, had the bands around it. And I mean, we're talking about money, money, money. And he said, babe, it was so much, I got tired of picking it. Hallelujah. Pay your tithe. Pay your tithe. Pay your tithe. It was more than we needed. Do you hear me? We're talking about bucks, bucks, bucks. It was more than we needed. I call it our dirty money that we use to do a clean thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that wasn't the only time. We had a third time. Hallelujah. In the garbage. In the garbage. Money that we needed is if we said, Daddy, I need such and such. And he's just like, here it is. Here it is. And who would think God would give you money out of the garbage? I tell you, your treasure hunt. Our God loves us. And let's love him. He is worth more than 10%. And I just want to share that with you. Pay your tithe cheerfully. Lick that envelope. Cheerfully write that check out. Cheerfully go in your pocket and give to the kingdom of God. And like Evangel said, don't worry about what the leaders are doing with it. That'll be taken care of too. But do your part and do it cheerfully in Jesus' mighty name. Now is the time to give God your tithe. God bless you. I'm off. I'm on mute.
Thank you, Mother, for those beautiful testimonies. Amen. And we just need to make sure that we understand with being happy about doing it, because we never know who is being blessed on the other end. Sometimes we don't know. But it's just good to know that you're able to do what you can do in the kingdom of God. Now, some people have big horns. I pay my tithes for my growth, not my net. What does that mean? I pay it from the top of season and got here. So why am I going to give God after what season and took? I done gave God less than see what season and took. I don't think so. So I give from my growth. Me being a government worker, it's public knowledge of how much each person makes according to your grade level. So I have always done that. And I see the results. And sometimes, if you know, the enemy want to come and say, "But you, if you didn't do this and you didn't do that." And if you don't work, don't feel bad that you cannot give financially. You can give in other ways. You can give your giving your time, your substance, whatever you give. One of the mothers, she made a testimony on one Thursday morning that she doesn't have a job, but that she does, she ties in her food, and she gives her from get food, and she takes that money that she gets for her food stamp, and she says she buys her groceries, and then she takes the money and buys enough food, her and another person, and they go feed the homeless. That's her tithing that she gets back because she doesn't have a job. But she's tithing. So I just want you to see, sometimes we think because we don't have a job, we can't do it. If you have a hobby, whatever you do, you can still be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So consider it.
Amen. I want to get into this topic. I was like, Lord, I'm waiting on the Lord to give me topic. I just don't like to drum up nothing. And as I'm moving around, and as when I sit still and write, He knows the right time to speak to me. God gave me two passages, two testimonies in the Word of God to teach on this morning. And you know, I said, we are just talking about let's talk. And this topic this morning is called backstabbers. I said, okay, Lord. And then He also said, be careful who you share your gifts with. I'm going to say that again. Stabbers. And be careful who you share your gifts with. And the dictionary says that a backstabber is one who betrays a trust or an allegiance. A trust or one or an allegiance. And what is an allegiance? An allegiance is that, hallelujah, that someone has come into agreement with, and then you just have to, an agreement is you have a loyalty or commitment of a subordinate to a superior or to an individual group or cause. But you are in agreement with someone about a particular item or item thing. And they turn a person you trust turn on you. Let us see. We're going to go to two, and I know people say, well, I wouldn't have never thought about this topic for these two individuals. But they had backstabbing. And the gift that they had, enemy one was just selfish in one particular testimony, and the other one, a person trusts them, but they were deceptive and they betrayed them, and eventually they lost their life. So, and it came to pass after those things, these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, placed there where Joseph was found. I remember Joseph, he shared, how did Joseph end up in prison? I'm just going to give you a synopsis of his life. He had a coat of many colors. He was a dreamer. His brothers was jealous. His brothers took his coat, put it in animal's blood, told his father that he was dead, when actually reality they had put him in the pit. They were going to plot to kill him. But one of the brothers said, no, you ain't going to kill him. I believe it was Simeon. And they eventually, after they told their dad that he was dead, they sold him to some merchants that was passing by and put him into slavery. He got over there in Egypt, God had favor on his life. Come on, somebody. What the devil mean for bad, God going to turn that into good. Moving on. Backstabbers. That's what we're talking about this morning. So there go the brothers right there, backstabbing right there. All because of jealousy. Brutal is the grave. And so Joseph is batting his own business. There comes Potiphar's wife. See, he's looking good. Delicious. He wanted him. He told him no. Mm-mm. You don't belong to me. You private property. I'm not touching. So she lied. And he ends up in prison. And so now he's in prison. And verse number 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Now, he in prison, and he's in charge, okay? Favor. And serve them. And they continue a season inward. And they dream the dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker and the of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. Now God has given him to be a prophetic person. So just because he was in jail, just because he was a slave, had been put in slavery, sold into slavery, he didn't stop giving his gift. Matter of fact, I believe that he increased his gift and gave him favor because of the gift. See, he was in a terrible situation because the folks lied on him. Backstabbers! And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? They said unto him, we had dreamed a dream. There was no interpreter of it. Now, what is the happening? How would they know that he was a dreamer? How would they know that he was an interpreter of a dream? Not only did God allow him to dream, but God allowed him to interpret dreams. I'm saying to you dreamers and you interpreters of dreams, come on somebody, hallelujah. Guard your guard. Make sure that God is using you in the right manner, because there's that stabbers out there lurking. See, utilize your gift for gain. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And then he said, and Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? See, he was giving God the glory. He wasn't even thinking about himself. And then he says, tell me then, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine, there were three branches. And it was as though it budded. And her blossoms shot forth thereof, brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Look at the wisdom that God has given. Just look at the wisdom. Now, I want to start saying, Hallelujah. Don't be puffed up in when God give you wisdom. When God told me that he had given me the gift of knowledge, I was like, whoa, Lord, you're going to teach me how to use that because I don't want to mess up nothing. But anyway, and the three, and he said, and this is it. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet therein, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee to thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. So that would mean even though he had favor, he did not want to be in prison. Because after all, he was innocent. He didn't do anything to deserve to be in, first of all, sold as a slave, and second of all, to be lied on and thrown into prison when he had not done anything. Okay? Go on. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. He tells his testimony. And here also have I done nothing. And they should put me into the dungeon. He just gave all of that in this one paragraph, what I just told you in the background. And when the chief butler saw that the interpretation was good, here we go. He said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, there was three white baskets on my head. And in the uttermost basket, there was all manner of baked meat for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph answered, saying, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up his head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree. And the birds shall eat thy flesh from thee. That wasn't good. I think I would have kept my mouth closed. And it came to pass that 3 days, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants. He lifted up his head, and the chief butler and the baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership and gave the cup. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted him. Yet did not, they go to backstabbing, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, we know later on he remembers the interpretation. That testimony does come out good. But I want to say that it took a while. He didn't go straight and say, hey, there's somebody. God has a plan. Now we're going to turn over to the judges. And I just want to... I'm going to just tell you, Judges chapter 16 is what I'm going to tell you this testimony. I'm not going to read it. You can take your time. But this is about Samson. Samson and Delilah. Many of you know that testimony. Some of you may not. But Samson was a Nazarite. And his mother, from her womb, she was not to touch the vine nor drink from the vine, because God wanted him to be pure. He told him not to cut his hair, because that was the line of the strength. And when you read in the Judges, right between chapter 13, before you get to 16, you'll see the strength that Samson has, God had given him because of the strength that was in his hair. And that was the time that when God allowed them to have him to have it. But because of that Samson's flesh, he allowed his gift to not be protected as it should have been because of the lust of the flesh. And so Delilah, being a deceptive person, she was working for the Philistines. They were tired of Samson destroying them. So they hired Delilah to find out what the secret of his, she was a backstabber. Not only was she a manipulator, but she deceived him. And he allowed her to deceive him. So we know, as the testimony goes on, he tried to trick him, and he just told her, oh, if you just tie these little vines on my arms, I won't, you know, I'll be weak and so forth and so on. But the thing about it is, he let his guard down. He allowed this woman who was his backstabber, who was one that betrayed him. He said, you know I love you. And you just don't want me to know why you can't share with me. Pillow talk. Y'all better watch that pillow talk. Those of you that have gifts, don't be letting that pillow talk get you in trouble. Because you are putting yourself in danger of your anointing being sold off to the enemy. That pillow talk gets you in trouble. That pillow talk, I'm talking about men and women. I ain't just talking about the male. So allow your flesh to get so aroused because you want the opposite sex. Well, now they the same sex. You just got to have it. And you allow your gift to be prostituted because of your own lustly flesh. The backstabbers are there to take you down. Oh, we're talking about backstabbers this morning. But we also talking about those who have gifts. Guard your gift. Be careful who you share your gift with, because sometimes it may not turn out like this Joseph and the butler, and you arise out of that situation. You might be like the scenario here with Delilah and Samson. We know that after a while, the third time, he told her. And the Philistines, not only there, cut his hair, they cut his hair off. He was weak. They plucked out his eyeballs. They put him in prison. They didn't know. They got away with it that time. But his strength came back because they didn't keep cutting his hair. His hair grew back. God said that was where his strength was. But I'm sure that Samson was in a repentant state because he didn't have no eyesight to see them. But as the word of God tells us, when you read on to the end of Samson's life, he said, God, allow me to avenge my adversaries. It is written in the word of God that he took out more people in his death than he did at the time than when he was alive. The reason why I'm giving you the synopsis of the whole testimony is because I have an appointment that I got to get to this morning. I got to get my brother there that I have inherited from my dad. He has an appointment at 8 o'clock on my time. So I just want to give this, and then I'm going to open up the floor for questions and comments after the commercial. Getting to what God has said, we that have an anointing on our lives, we don't have backstabbers. We don't have haters. Don't allow our flesh cause us to get out of character. We got to remain humble. We got to allow God to do the work. He says, vengeance is mine, and I shall repay. So regardless of how the backstabbers come and try to do whatever they're doing to us, we got to guard our anointing, and we got to watch who we share with. God don't tell you to say nothing. Don't say nothing. Sometimes, me being a giver, I get myself in trouble. But I'm learning to have more wisdom as I become seasoned in the Lord. And not allow myself to get entangled with backstabbers. But some of these folks, they, all they want to do is utilize you for what they can utilize to get out of you. And they care nothing about you at all. So I'm going to leave that right there. Administrator, give us a commercial. We're going to come back and open up the floor, comments, and questions. Are you there, Administrator?
Yes, our system is locked up right now. It's rebooting.
I didn't hear you.
The system is locked up right now. It's rebooting.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go on and we're going to see. If you're on the blog side, you can press 1 on the dial of your phone. If not, you can text 334-440-6152. If you're on the conference line, you can star 6 your line. Anyone have a question or a comment this morning about our topic, backstabbers? Woo! Hallelujah. Be careful who you share. Anyone have a question or comment? This is your opportunity.
Good morning, Evangelist Wilkes. Thank you so much for sharing
this
topic today. And even the topic, or even the question that you had answered this morning about tithing. And oh, wow. That's all I can say is, oh, wow. Because I thank God for the transparency, because that's what people need today. We need the word, but we also need the transparency of us individuals, because people go through so much stuff, and people are not going to read the word, you know, but they want to hear from you, you know, on based off of, you know, your testimony. And it's sad to say because I know my pastor will always say, people ain't going to read the book, you know. And so we have to be the walking epistles in this hour and this season for those to, so that we can draw men to God. And but God does the drawing, excuse me. God does the drawing, but we just be the ones to plant the seed in that individual, you know. And then when God is ready to use you in that area, you won't be able to, you won't say, I'll get the glory, but God will get all the glory from it. But what I think is so so amazing about what you spoke on today about backstabbing, it's so sad that you would see it out there in the world, you know, when you was in the world, but sometimes you will also see it in the church. And it is so sad. It makes you wonder how that happened or how does this type of thing get into the church? You know, and so it is so true. You have to be careful about who you share your testimony with, your transparency with people, because people will take that and run with it. And then also with that, you know, when God gives you something and God tells you not to speak it and you do it anyways, and something happens, there you go, running back to God and saying, God, they did this to me. But if he tells you not to share, then don't share. But I just thank God for that, because, man, it is so it's so needed in this hour. So God bless you, woman of God.
You're welcome, woman of God. Amen. Is there anyone else with a question or a comment? Talk about backstabbers this morning. Be careful who you share your gifts with. We came from Genesis chapter 40. Amen.
Praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord again. Oh, my goodness, that was just awesome. And it's right on time, just like the young lady said before. Woman of God, you really hit the nail on the head. I want to share with my celebration, my 70th birthday, I also spoke about Joseph, because it reminds me of my life. I always say, compare my life with Joseph. Matter of fact, my son even put the mini color coat on me as I went up to speak. And the song that was done was by Stephanie Mill, Born for This. That's the name of it. And when I got up there, I talked about Joseph, and the subject was the cost of the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of the anointing, and I was made a large tag with just dollar signs on it. The cost of the anointing, and we have to pray and ask God to protect the anointing. Joseph didn't ask the coach. Daddy gave it to him. He didn't ask for the dream. Our Heavenly Father gave it to him. He wasn't bragging about the dream. He was just reporting the dream. And all jealousy hit. So I know what you're talking about. All that jealousy, the backbiting, who would think your brothers would turn on you like that? Rather see you in a pit. A pit wasn't good enough for you. That wasn't bad enough. But to sell you, to honestly sell you in slavery, and you're part of their family, you're absolutely right. You have to pray for protection, Psalm 91, over you, and ask God to protect the anointing. Because believe me, just like God anointed you, there are secret agents of the enemy out to destroy that anointing. They could care less about us. It's the anointing that God put in us that enemy, the backbiters, want, in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank God. And when you went to talk about Samson and Delilah, we have to think about that too. How many times did he see, that's just like us, God's children, God would show us an example. Every time Delilah came and he saw that, when I told Delilah, something happened to me, number one. Number two, something happened to me. Every time I told her, something happened to me. Where was his wisdom? Where was his love? What was he thinking? Like you said, his flesh. So we as children of God, we can't let our flesh
Let us stop hearing the voice of God. Woman of God, that is awesome. God bless you. Cover you with the blood of Jesus. Love you.
Thank you, Mother. Amen. Is there anyone else with a question or comment this morning? Backstabbers. We going to have them. We going to have them. Are we going to be like Samson and end up losing our life because we allow our flesh to get the best of us? Or are we going to be like Joseph? Amen. And wait on God. Allow God to be God and do what he do, not take matters in our own hands. Something to think about. Young people, all of you that listen, have been listening to me for years, exclude you. You got to even watch those that you hang with. Because you now have a responsibility, because you know truth, to protect your soul. You can't let them backstabbers or those that's wild like stallions rope you in and have you doing stuff you do should not be doing. And the next thing you know, you in jail. Or you laying up in the hospital. And they done drop the bomb and left you hanging. They leave you. They use you as a scapegoat for they wrongdoing. They running around scot-free or still healthy and all buffed and polished. And you lay in there crippled or wounded or something. Be careful. Ask God for the wisdom and knowledge, not to be puffed up, not to be snotty, not to be, you know, thinking, well, you know, Dr. Evangelist Wolf said, don't, you know, I can't, you know. No. I'm saying, ask God, okay, should so-and-so over here or so-and-so over there, should I be their friend? Or should I be a friend to them from a distance? Be just, you know, show myself friendly and keep it a moving. You have to know your place, your relationship with God. There is something that you need to understand. Your soul is going to live for eternity, not just while you're in your body. And you're going to end up landing one place or the other. You're going to either be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. Our choice. Because we have to choose ye this day whom we're going to serve. Are we going to serve God according to his word? Or are we going to do it because, I don't think that's what God meant. He a God of love and I can do this and I can do that. No. Don't be blinded by our own selfish will. God said what he said. He left on record what he meant. We can't twist it and turn it upside down, inside out. I don't care how people try to stretch the word to fit their situation or they're wrong. God is going to judge accordingly. And he is a righteous judge. And we want to make sure that the righteous judgment that he placed upon each individual, we want to make sure we are on the winning side, excuse me, of that judgment. So, with that being said, amen. Watch out for the backstabber. There's a song. I don't know who used to sing it. I just know it was back in the day when I was a child. Smiling in your face. Smiling in your face. Talking to you. the OJs, okay, yeah, I know somebody. Now, my husband, he was on keto, all of that stuff. He be saying stuff. I be looking at him like, how you know all of this stuff? It's just we have to know that God has a plan for our life. We got to live accordingly. Is there any other comment this morning?
That was going to be my comment. I was about to come on the line and say that song you saw your face, that song. But you wouldn't say it, so thank God.
Baby Patrice, I'm telling you, we had to, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Some people, they just, and I have a saying that sin has no shame. Sin has no shame whatsoever. And people, they both put the mess. They will be in your face knowing that they're going to do you wrong or they're going to talk about you. They have an agenda. They'll sliver their way into your life like Delilah. It ain't just, Delilah ain't just no man. I mean, a woman. It could be a man. There's the spirit. I want you to understand, it's a spirit of deceptiveness. That's what it's all about. Sliver in. They have all selfish wills, all selfish motives. Sliver in. And they know that they're going to be like a poisonous snake. They ain't going to bite you later on. They'll be giving, if you have to be careful, people giving you all kind of fancy words, and they just being all nice to you, nicey-nicey, and kissy-kissy, and all this kind of stuff. And they know in the end, they're going to do you in, stab you in your back. They're going to talk about you. They're going to scandalize your name. But in with us, you and I must know that we don't have to take advantage. God got it. As I stated, he keeps good records. So, administrator, did you get any comments on the blog side?
All lines are clear at this time, Dr. Wilkes.
All right. I noticed something. What in the world? How in the world did you get that? I don't get it. I would have never thought of that. Kai backstabber did with this scripture at all. My mind don't function like that. But God, I told him that I want him to make me a unique ministry and how he utilized me, and he does. He amazes me. That's all I got to say. Any other comments from the conference live? You can still text 334-440-6152. Anyone have, you can start six your line. Amen. I'm gonna cut nobody off. I'm gonna give you your opportunity to say anything.
Good morning, Dr. Wells.
Good morning, Apostle.
God bless you. Amen. Thank God for the word. I caught the end of your teaching. I just want to come in and share, I guess, a quick testimony back on your teaching when you was talking about the backstabber. I remember, give honor to God and to the men and women of God on that, to Dr. Matthews in his absence. Bless God for you. I remember, you know, before I got saved, okay? Before I got saved, I would call that my foolishness. Before God saved me and brought me into wisdom, and then I prayed for wisdom. But I remember being in the streets, hustling, selling drugs. I can be transparent about my life. My daughter, she know that. I can say that. Thanks to you. Bless you. I was hustling, selling drugs, and me and my brother was like, we was like considered two kingpins in the community or the city that we was in. And I ended up having one brother that was kind of, I call him brother, he was kind of, you know, real close to me. We were running together, hanging together, and had him selling some drugs. I heard the young people hear this, Dr. Will, had him selling some drugs. And he ended up getting busted and backstabbed me. Now, he didn't get arrested. I got arrested. I was going to court, and I had to end up doing some time. I took some time while he was out, you know, in his freedom, even though he was selling drugs for me. But he was the one that got caught. See, I was in my foolishness then. I didn't know no better, going to get a court-appointed lawyer. My mom and dad didn't have no money to get a good lawyer to do what they needed to do to help me out. You know, I was just running that, what I call the fads of life, chasing money and doing all the crazy stuff or the foolish stuff, being unsaved. But don't you know that God, when he has a plan and a purpose for your life, he will pull you up out of some stuff. And I heard y'all talk, you and Mother Jackson talking about Joseph. I always remind myself of that as well, because I was in that same state, in that same place. And being in that place, God had a plan and purpose for my life. When I got out of jail, I didn't do much time as Joseph did, but I did some time, and it felt like an eternity. But when I got out, I went right back doing the repetitive stuff because I was still in my foolishness. I didn't have no change of mind, no change of heart. But eventually, because God had his hand on my life and because I had like my grandmother, mother, and aunts and different women praying for me when I really should have been taken out by the enemy, but I ended up getting away from him. But I'll just look at how the enemy will use people, and as Evangelist Pickett said, look at how the enemy will use people right in God's church, will try to backstab you, set you up, sabotage you. For what? They're allowing the enemy to use them to try to destroy you. Now, these are your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. But I thank God for this brother that, you know, we was homeboys and running the street together, that he's now a preacher. And I never brought that up to his attention whenever I ran across, when we ran across paths. But I was like, well, the past is the past. At least both of us, God brought us on the right track, and we're both now carrying the gospel and just sharing the love of Christ through all of our life experiences. You know, I really grown up from that place, and that's why I believe God gave me a heart to really encourage younger brothers, people that are, you know, my heart is for souls, but just encourage, you know, the young men, because the streets are really taking our young men, and the prison system is really being up with us, especially our young black brothers. And my heart goes out for them, and I pray prevalent for them, because I know what the enemy is doing, because I once were there. That's why I always dialogue with the brothers in the barbershop, or dialogue with the brothers on my job, or with brothers when I come in contact with them, you know, in the community, wherever I'm at. Just share the love of Christ. And, you know, when you talk to them, they'll be like, well, you seem like you're a preacher. And I say, I am. God saved my life. I gave my life to the Lord. And, yeah, I have some stories to tell. And that's why it's so good that we tell our testimony, to let somebody else know how good God is and what God can do in and through your life. So I just thank God for what I did here, woman of God. I just encourage you. So like I told Mother Sydney, you just stay in the vein, keep on letting God use you, because people need to know and people need to hear the authenticity and the truth of what God can do in and through their life. But we got to be careful. We got to watch out, because the enemy can sometimes be close to you and you don't even realize it. So that's why your spiritual discernment has to be, at its highest height in this hour, so you can discern who's for you and who against you. So bless you on today.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, watch out. You got to know. Hallelujah. So therefore, this is the topic. I told him he's coming. He said, let's talk. Let's talk about it. So we're talking about it this morning, about the backstabbers.
And if you're not careful, what could happen? You have, especially those of you that have anointing, I believe that God is sending a warning to those of us that have know that we have a gift on us. And whether you're walking in a gift or not, you still need to understand that you're going to have a backstabber that's going to need, because somebody's going to notice it. You might not even have to tell it to people, but somebody's going to notice that gift. And it's left up to us, how we, and I really want to say this to our youth. If you have someone pouring into your life and giving you sound wisdom, I'm not talking about foolish wisdom, sound wisdom from God, don't discard that. You may not understand where they're coming from. You say, oh, they old-fashioned, they don't want nothing, they just this, that, and the other. But remember, sometimes those that may be giving you wisdom comes from personal experience. They have traveled that road. And if you just take the time to listen, it would save you a whole lot of headaches in the end. Young people, don't get yourself entrapped into situations where you could avoid them by just listening to wisdom. God has and can utilize you if you allow him to. Know that Arlena will do care about what happens to you. It hurts my heart to the crux of my soul. No matter what race in you are, when I hear things have happened to them and it could have been avoided, I just cringe. I be like, feel like I want to disintegrate. That's how much compassion I have and thought for the youth, because I see, as the apostle says, how the enemy is trying to destroy your life. And he don't care nothing about you. He don't. He don't care about the person that he utilized to destroy you. But we are not just speaking words, but we're speaking life so that you can live on and have a prosperous life in God and in this present world. Yes, you're going to have some trials. Yes, you're going to have some tests. But for most part, you have wisdom to fall back on. Let it be your guide. So with that being said, I want to make sure that everyone has had an opportunity to say something on this morning. I want you to be encouraged. Hallelujah. Again, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Central Time, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, join us again on this very same platform. Our very own Apostle Maurice Simmons will be coming in the morning to share what God has given him. And always, he will have a word for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, anyone have a question or a comment before we close out? All right. The poor musketeers are getting ready for school.
grandchildren in the background. Father, we thank you on this morning, oh God. We give you glory, honor, and praise for that which you have allowed us to hear. And, oh God, hallelujah, allow us to experience. We ask, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, that you help us to take heed to your word. Lord, give us the spirit of discernment even the more. Sharpen it, oh God, that we would not go astray, that we would not be to the left or to the right, but we will pay attention, oh God, hallelujah, to that which you have put before us. Lord God, we pray for all souls, the gifts that you have given each and every last one of us, save and unsave alike. Oh God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will utilize those vessels, oh God, in their individual gifts, Lord God, for the building of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you, hallelujah, Lord, even for those, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, that may try to scandalize us and misuse us and even be backstabbers. Lord, they have souls as well. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, that you will bring them into the kingdom of God, that they will repent, Lord God, before it's everlasting too late. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, those that are weak, Lord God, and falling into trenches because they have not paid attention to their gift and talents and guard them. We ask that you strengthen right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, rise them up, oh God, and let them get back in place. Strengthen them, oh God. Give them encouragement, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for leadership everywhere. Lord God, especially those that are, God, in the household of faith. And Lord God, being willing and obedient, Lord God, and serving that of your people. We glorify you and we magnify you, Lord. And we pray for even those that are greedy, oh God, that, oh God, that they have exploited, oh God, the thing that you have given them. We pray for them as well, Lord, that you, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, will help them, that they will come to a place of repentance, oh God, and God, and those that have been damaged by them, Lord God, will forgive and continue to support the kingdom of God. We thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, people of God, I ask that you go in the grace and strength of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, in hallelujah, according to the word of God, and be saved, pray that you will repent. Hallelujah, be born of the water and of the Spirit, according to God's word. Hallelujah. Walk upright before him. Stay, keep yourself clean from unholy things and allow God to lead you to a place where he desires for you to be for your spiritual growth. We ask that you have a blessed and wonderful day until the first Friday of the new month. We are almost out of September. I pray that you will have a glorious, glorious, glorious blessed time in the Lord. We say, if you desire to join me on Sunday, I'm on my Facebook page at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time teaching. I'm almost finished with the book of Revelation. Amen. You can join me for Sunday school. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you have not gotten a copy of my book, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Walmart online. The name of the book is Can I Divorce? And it's not only talking about divorce, but it's also talking about healing in certain areas. So you can get a copy of that book. You can order it on Kindle. And you don't have to have a Kindle per se. You can download the app on your phone. And you can get that for $9.95 on your book or $14.95. All proceeds of the purchase of the book goes to charity. It does not come to me. All goes to charity. So have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we say shalom in your court, administrator.
like never before. We're waging war.
Anoint my head.
Oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
the rain now. Here on the back.